In this episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, please join us as we interview the Amethyst Dragon.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, this is Nathan, also known as the Amethyst Dragon, back again for the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Z, aka Zeus, from the realms of Trinity.
Hey, this is A. Rowan, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast. And you're listening to the 155th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, the podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Well, today's episode, we have the Amethyst Dragon coming on to talk about a lot of his community developments and his updates. He's also was a winner in the 2011 November custom content challenge on the IGN Vault. We're going to get into all that, plus his updates to his persistent world of Anea. It's a great interview, tons of cool stuff. He talks about a lot of his custom content and how, you know, just a lot of nooks and crannies about it and some of the things that he's developed. So definitely stay tuned and check that out. But we have some Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 news, and Zeus is going to kick off Neverwinter Nights 1 news.
All right, in Neverwinter Nights 1, we have some good news for Mac users. Community member Steve Savicki had pointed out that Mac users may be in a pickle with the newest operating system, Lion, not allowing them to play Neverwinter Nights. One of the answers out there is this article showing you how you can keep OS Snow Leopard loaded as well, keeping Neverwinter Nights at your fingertips.
And there's also the option to buy a PC.
Or you could buy something that actually works.
That would be my recommendation. Hit the nearest electronics store, pick up a PC, and you're good to go.
Or just wait till Snowy Owl comes out and flaps in your face. Lion bullshit.
And in Neverwinter Nights 2, the road will cover some, one of the new modules.
The first new module is called Charmone by Dan Pigdom. The main plot is that it's close to midnight and something evil is lurking in the dark. Somewhere south of Boldemar, a salt mining city in the eastern shard, the caravan you are escorting has been waylaid by the undead. With the help of Michael, son of Jax, a bard of some renown, you have little choice but to investigate the source of the undead. Recommended starting level is 10. Lower level characters will have a chance to level up if they choose to. There is basic equipment generated for new characters.
And we have another new module, Wolverheim by Shockwolf. Originally was a persistent world for Neverwinter Nights 2. He has recently converted it over to a actual single player module. He was interviewed, I think, episode 135 or 136. Also, a little bit of brief synopsis about it. It's Wolverheim is a Neverwinter Nights 2 campaign module inspired by The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. Experience a beautifully handcrafted sandbox open world with gameplay concepts never before seen in Neverwinter Nights. Live another life in another world, create and play any character you can imagine, from the noble knight paladin to the sinister cult Blackguard. Experience the province of Wolverheim and talk to the locals, see what troubles with them, and help them for rewards and simply cause whatever mayhem your dark heart desires. So it's definitely a very cool and a very big single-player module with a lot of detail, very much so, for especially because it was a persistent world originally. And I personally know Shockwolf. He does really high-quality work, and he's done a lot. So definitely, if you get a chance, check that out. It's a good single-player mod. And he's got a page on the vault, which we'll link in our show notes, where you can post any bugs or any issues like that, or if you had ideas or questions or whatever. He has lost information on his vault page. So that's pretty much it. I mean, there's not too much else out there in Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 land. You guys think anything else?
Not off the top of my head, but I will say if anybody has something that they want on the podcast, you know, send a message, send an email. Get in contact with someone.
Yes. Send us a message on our forum, or our email addresses are listed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast staff page. So check it out. And, you know, if you have anything, we have a Facebook page too. Check us out on Facebook. We post keep everything up to date on there too of our recording schedule. We're booked up for the next 3 weeks. We're recording an episode a week instead of every other week, but we'll still be releasing these. We're doing this in an attempt to make sure that we have several episodes buffered up in case one of our interviewees is not able to make it a podcast when we need them to do it for the recording. So there won't be any lulls or gaps in between our recording sessions. So with that, we're going to start the interview with the Amethyst Dragon. Well, hey, thanks to the Amethyst Dragon for coming back on the podcast. It's great to have you back on after the last episode. I've seen you did a ton of stuff since then, and it's an honor to have you back on the show.
Thanks.
If you don't mind, can you get started and tell us a little bit about yourself again? I know you did last time, but, you know, just for new listeners and people may not have actually heard the last episode, give us, like, how you got started in Neverwinter Nights modding and the game itself, even.
Sure. I first heard about the game probably about a year before it came out, and then it came out, and I still didn't have it because I didn't have a computer that could run it. A buddy of mine ended up buying me the game about a year after it came out, and I played through the original campaign and then the two expansions and played on some other people's Persistent Worlds because I was just on a dial-up connection. Decided to make my own Persistent World and started working on it for a year on a dial-up connection. Downloaded lots of stuff from the vault. Good thing about dial-up is you can usually leave it on all night, start a download, and go to sleep. And it's pretty much done in the morning when you get up.
Good thing about cable. Good thing about cable is you can start a download and it's done in a matter of seconds.
Yes. Once I got a cable connection, then a couple months later, my Persistent World was actually online. But I knew I'd have a cable connection eventually to run it. I just wanted to start building before that.
Yeah, you definitely always need lead up time when you're developing something like a Persistent World or something that large.
And when you got, you know, kids in the house and job and school and stuff like that, it's a lot of time.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big commitment anytime you get involved with that, most certainly. If I remember correctly, you did most of that yourself, if not all of it yourself, right?
My Persistent World, yes. I've done almost everything myself. I have a couple of scripted systems I have a scripted treasure system, and it's Silicon Scouts, and I modified a spawn system from CEP, and I have persistent chests from the Markshire Persistent World that they released. Other than that, the rest is mine.
A monumentous task, if I do not say so myself. Very, very, very impressive stuff.
Well, it's been online for 5.5 years now, and I was working on it a year before that, so it builds. It eventually adds up.
Oh, yeah. It definitely does.
And then, you know, I got into doing more of the custom content stuff after I started playing around and finding stuff I could modify with Notepad in the models and the text versions of them, and then finally figured out how to use GMAC for modeling, and since then I've just been tinkering and tinkering and tinkering, and well, it adds up.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that's how I got in, started on Neverwinter Nights stuff. Oh, I played D&D for years before that too, so this is, you know, the closest thing I can play with D&D nowadays since I don't have a gaming group anymore.
Yeah, it's certainly Neverwinter Nights is at least in my opinion, it's one of the havens for D&D these days. I mean, the online scenes with the World of Warcrafts and stuff like that, they're not the same thing. You know, there's the games aren't the same, and you don't get that flavor that you get from Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 for that matter.
Money every month.
Yeah, and it costs you money, exactly. Oh, but yeah. you can level up to level 20 now for free. They don't tell you you need to be level 90 to do anything. So,
yeah, I got a buddy who played World of Warcraft, actually played D&D with him for a while, and he could get a character to like level 60 or 70 in less than a week. He once showed the guys at Blizzard how to do something in the game.
Like an exploit.
Yeah.
Nice.
He told him about it because he was bored with it.
Yeah, and they get all the players. Interesting how that works.
Of course they do. It's because they have a big name. It's all about the name, man.
It is.
Seeing that you've been working on a neverwinternights.info community site that you created, could you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. Well, the idea from that came from, I think it was Superfly 2000 had posted on the BioWare boards, because the official BioWare site had basically just vanished overnight when their old forum software got hacked.
Yeah.
And they basically shut everything down so that the only official mention of Neverwinter Nights by BioWare, if you go to their front page, you have to go to their legacy games, and there's a couple of paragraphs and maybe one or two screenshots. It doesn't say where you can get it, how you play it, or anything about it.
Yeah, it. After that attack, they made it pretty obvious they weren't all that interested anymore.
Yeah, so at least they still had the forms there, the social forms that they moved us all over to.
Yeah.
And Superfly 2000 came up with this idea, and I was like, oh, I can, you know, whip up a quick template for you guys to use. And, well, I ended up making the whole site myself.
That's how
funny how those
works.
Things, yeah.
Yeah. I do a little amateur web design that it's been 12 years now that I've been doing that. No, like 15 years. But, you know, all self-taught, so a little here, a little there. Not a lot of professional program, just raw HTML and Photoshop.
Always fun.
So the community site is basically for anybody that's familiar with the game. They can find what they want. And people who aren't familiar with the game, it's basically a central source for anything, hopefully, that they'll need to know to play. So new players, current players, people who are interested in playing and don't even have the game yet. Hey, it's got a link right to the GOG.com page for downloading it. So it's kind of a promotional thing just to give us a presence on the web again.
Which is huge. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you get rid of something like that, it's like vanishes into the ether. I mean, nobody is going to ever, if you're not marketing something, nobody's going to play it. And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
But it's definitely huge.
Well, even the old address, the nwn.bioware.com, just goes to Bioware's front page now.
301 redirect.
Pretty
not
much.
Even a clue that you're being redirected. It's like, okay, so does the game not exist anymore? So
I figured 301.info
was a pretty good address to get.
Oh, that's huge. That's a really good one. Here's a question that I'd like to have somebody from Bioware or somebody answer. I might actually email their PR people about this now that I think about it, but I'd like to know if the GOG selling the game and in different places you can get it, are they still getting revenues from the game, or do they sell the rights of the game entirely? Like, okay, here, you get the royalties, you get the revenues, you just market it. I'm wondering if it's something like that.
It's probably Atari that's getting any little royalties from it, since they were the publishers.
Okay.
BioWare was just the developers, and they're, owned by EA now?
That's correct, yep. So that probably has something.
Getting a little something.
I hope so. I mean, it'd be still a lot better if that they would still market their products. I mean, hell, I mean, I know the game's 10 years old, but, you know, the community contents was driving the game into 10 years plus. You know, it's not the game publishers or the writers at this point in the game. It's the players that are actually, you know, people like yourself that are modifying the content, putting more stuff out there that's making it happen.
Yeah, well, there's like people like the guy that goes by the name Virus Man, which is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Still expanding things like crazy. He's, you know, modifying the tool set. He's modifying the game client to add stuff. It's great.
It is great. He's done a ton of stuff all the way around Neverwinter Nights 2 as well. I mean, he's done stuff with the Neverwinter Nights extender for 2, and that guy's amazing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nuts.
His work is spraying like a virus. Had to do it.
Wow.
Well, I think it's funny that I posted what I thought was just a kind of impossible idea in the development forum, and like a day later, he had added it to his client extender.
That sounds very familiar. Hey, do this impossible task, okay?
Yeah, that's great, though, that you have the people like that are in the community still, you know, doing stuff. It's amazing.
Way beyond my capabilities.
Yeah, I've looked at the source code to the stuff myself, and you know, I'm a pretty heavy programmer, and it would definitely be a mind bender without having documentation or any kind of background into how the stuff was put together to how they actually do it. So yeah, it's definitely, the guy's extremely talented and certainly deserves recognition for his work, no doubt about that.
Well, that's pretty much all I got for the Neverwinter Nights info site. I just wanted to put it out there again and remind people that it's there.
Oh, that's good.
So I saw you submitted a lot of great content for the November 2011 Custom Content Challenge on the Vault. Can you tell us a little bit about your submissions?
Sure. Well, I've been futzing with the Custom Content Challenge almost since they started, a few months after they started. November's was, I think, underwater stuff, and for a while I had no idea what I was going to do. And then one day I just sat down and I was like, okay, I'm going to brainstorm a list of like 5 things I could do, and then I'll pick one of those. Well, I ended up with a list of 20 things I could do and ended up picking 5 or 6.
Nice.
And it's relatively simple stuff, too. Like, I made a kind of a curtain of bubbles. BioWare, in the last patch, I believe, or maybe the 1.68 patch, had provided a couple of placeables that emitted bubbles for, you know, underwater areas. So I took that and I put it into GMAX, stretched it out, so it was like 5 meters long, and made a bunch more bubbles, and look, there's a whole new model for people to use.
Yeah, that's one way of getting stuff done. I use some similar methods when I created double weapons for Realms of Trinity there.
Yeah, it's, you know, a little modification of what's already there. You can end up with stuff that's useful.
Oh, yeah, totally. I do that with visual effects all the time. You know, open up the visual effects editor, mess around with them, you know, just see what I can do. And a lot of times you can make a whole new thing out of what's already there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Boy, a visual effects editor, that would be nice to have for Neverwinter Nights 1.
Yeah, it's actually built into the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset. Pretty usable, too. You could do a lot of stuff with that.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine so, yeah. I'm kind of stuck with, oh, here's GMAX, here's some emitters that somebody else made. Change textures, change the colors, maybe change birth rates and all these variables, and then I have to put it into the game to test out.
Yeah, that's. I remember doing that way back in the day.
But hey, you know, whatever works, it still works.
Absolutely. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Let's see what else that I made. I made a couple of like stone archways, just for, you know, underwater areas. They actually use textures from, is it Lord of Worms undersea tile set, I think? It's not Sixes. I think it's Lord of Worms. So I just grabbed a couple of textures from that so that they would blend in if you used them in the same tile set. Took some of his coral that he had already made and attached it so it, you know, looked like it had been there for a while. And there were two more models, so that made the three placeables, that and the bubbles. Then I made a couple of creatures. I took a penguin, the default Neverwinter Nights penguin that's been around since 2002, and I figured, you know what? Penguins don't walk on the bottom of the seafloor. They swim. So I did some combining of that with, I think it was the raven, the default raven, so that I could steal its animations, and I ended up with a swimming penguin. Great. I darkened up the texture a little, too, because I've never seen a gray adult penguin. Seen gray chicks, but not adults. So he's actually black and white now.
Nice.
And then another creature, I took an existing model. A while ago, I made brand new elementals, and with like glowing eyes and how I thought they should look more for D&D rather than Neverwinter Nights. And one of them I made was a water elemental, and I thought, you know what? Water elemental is underwater. Can you see it?
good question. Very good.
So I stripped away everything except its glowing eyes. So there's an mostly invisible water elemental creature now for underwater.
That is cool.
And all of it took me maybe 2 or 3 days.
Wow. That's
in between,
not bad.
You know, raising
not bad.
Four kids because I'm a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is a full-time job itself. So, yeah, certainly is.
So I think that's all I did for the underwater one.
Well, that's some nice stuff there, though. Sure, a lot of people find some use for it.
I like to do things that people are going to use. I make some specialized stuff too, but a lot of the stuff that I release for the general public or through the challenge, I want people to use it.
You'll find stuff sometimes that's, you know, you look at on a vault and it's like, either you have to spend 60 hours to get to work or stuff like that. It's like very obscure, like has a very limited usability to it. But like stuff like this, like when you're making these things, like that's totally reusable. I mean, it's like the water elemental, perfect example of something that, you know, it's a great idea. Or, you know, if you have underwater areas, that's a perfect mob for it, really. You know, something that you always see is the glowing eyes coming at you. That's great.
If you really wanted to, you could use it for an air elemental above ground, since, well, really, you shouldn't be able to see wind.
Yeah.
Unless
it's
got stuff mixed up in it, you shouldn't really be able to see wind.
Unless you're in, like, a desert or something, you see, like, the wisping sand or, you know, whatever. But that's pretty much it, though. But you could even accomplish that with the visual effects attached to the model. If you really wanted to make something like that, you certainly could.
All sorts of possibilities, putting things together, taking things apart.
Yeah, it's a permutation combination game. That's one of the beauties of Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, being able to make those types of combinations happen. Because like, they make the stuff for the campaigns primarily, and, you know, after the fact, like you, and who are able to go in and say, hey, you know what, I need this for this. And you multiply that by how many developers there are out there in the community. They're developing content, and now you're coming up with, I would say, almost limitless combinations. People are just cranking stuff out left and right, you know, including just what you just talked about. It's a perfect example.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's people who have skills that I'm not good at, like creature animation. Not very good at it. So for that penguin, I basically molded the penguin parts onto the raven and renamed the parts so that they'd match up, remove the raven parts, and there I have an animated swimming penguin.
Yep. That's certainly effective way of doing it. No questions asked there.
So, yeah, it's there. You know, you may not have all the skills, but you can use what other people have done.
Absolutely. You can never, never underestimate with the power of, you know, looking at what other people have done, because you're learning from whatever they've done, really.
And with a custom content challenge, I'm trying to get people to participate that haven't done stuff before. So we're getting new people in, just trying to make models and scripts and stuff. And so, you know what? We get experienced people like myself and people who are a lot better at like things like texturing and animation, and new people learning how to do stuff, which is good for the game.
I think that's really, actually, I think that, let me get over there. I think that's actually what drives a game to do as well as Neverwinter Nights did, is the ability to create things to keep the game fresh, to keep it alive, to keep it moving.
Definitely.
Anything.
All we had left was the stuff that was published by BioWare. I don't think the game would have lasted through, say, 2006.
Those games don't last long. They get on the shelf, they last maybe a year, two tops, and then they're gone, and nobody even remembers them.
I couldn't survive without custom content in my world anymore. Even the stuff that I get from other people, I have to make my own now, because if I think of something, I have to put it in my module.
Yep.
That's what I think that's what everybody that's actually a creator, I think that's how they start. They start using things that other people made, and then say, well, I don't like how this works, so I've got to figure out how to change it. That's how I did it anyway. When I started way back when at Neverwinter Nights 1, I didn't like how BioWare did things, so I went and just did it myself. And then, as I got better and better and better at it, a buddy of mine decided to get into it, Kama. And I taught him everything I knew, and then he went off on that to do other things. And so, and then, you know, we all ended up on Realms of Trinity.
Yep, worked with Gavin. Six of Thrice, and we've got a lot of knowledge transfer from him, and that's how the community works. We all learn from each other. It's bottom line.
Yeah, so that's why I try to put stuff out too. You know, things I've learned, things I've made. I'm like, I've gotten a lot from the community, so every once in a while I want to throw something back out for them, you know, say, thanks, here.
Looking at all that you've done, I mean, the simple as this is, you are an NWN legend. I mean, these episodes that we're doing are the legend series, you know, so I want to point out to everybody listening, the Amethyst Dragon is a legend for all that he's created and produced for everybody.
Well, you know,
question. Yeah, you're welcome. And the question is for you. Like, you created a ton of content. What of that content did you enjoy the most in creating?
Some of my favorite stuff was actually some of my first stuff with the different icons for the game. I like to play spellcasters, and I got tired of looking at purple icons and trying to figure out what they were by having to look closely at them. I colorized all the spell icons, and it helped my gameplay a lot, and a lot of people liked them, so I went, well, let's see what else could use some color here that's been the same since the game came out. Oh, let's see feats. Well, I'll colorize those. Class icons, okay. How about all the stuff on the menus, the radial menus that pop up as you're using them? I'll add some color to those too. Why not? And I kind of like in the very last patch that BioWare did, they changed some of the emote icons. They didn't actually change the icons themselves, but they made them point to different file names because I had been trying to change those, and a whole bunch of them use the same file. Well, in the last patch, they changed that. So it's kind of like they did a little something for me. It was kind of nice. So now I've got, you know, emote icons that you can look at them and know what they are without having to hover the mouse over them to see what they are. So, yeah, things like when I changed the basic GUI to make a lot of the stuff transparent so I could see more of the game instead of less of the interface, or instead of more of the interface. So those are some of the things that I really enjoyed early on, and now it's a lot more model work than icon work.
You got to start somewhere.
Well, I started, you know, here, let's change the color of a texture on a model, and that'll be it. And now that I've played with GMax for quite a while, because that's how I learned software, is playing with it. And now I'm doing some stuff from scratch. I'm still not the best with texturing, but model making, getting better.
Just going through something like that, I mean, when you start digging into things, and it's funny how whenever you go through there, it's like, hey, you know, these need colorized, and you know, you start going that, then you start looking at the other stuff. It's funny though how when you actually start going through stuff, how you get drug into doing the other things too, because you just can't let it get. It's like one of the things you just can't let go at some point.
You start in on one thing, and then you're like, how did somebody else do that? Let me ask, which is one of the things I like about this community, is generally if I don't know how to do something, somebody else does, And if they don't have time to do it, I'll try to figure out how to do it. I've done that with modeling, with inventory stuff. Like, I did some cool wands a while back. I got really, really tired of looking at BioWare's magic wands. Couldn't tell what they did by looking at them. Couldn't tell them apart anymore. So I made a bunch of icons for wands. And I did magic rods at the same time and threw those up for everybody to use, too. So now you have, you know, millions of possibilities for those item types. You don't even have to look at them to see what they do anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely huge. And as I remember from my Neverwinter Nights 1 days, I remember thinking the same thing about, like, it really was difficult. When you're trying to hurry up, look at something, it's like, boy, you know, they all look the same. It's like, they're not the same, but they, you know, they really kind of blend together. And it's, you always have to use that little extra brain power there every time you look at something. So it was definitely a big improvement, certainly, by colorizing that and all that stuff like that. And the icons for the items, too.
Oh, yeah, those. Well, the cool things about things like wands and potions is they're three-part icons, so you can layer stuff. Like, my magic wands and my magic rods, I have on the bottom layer, I have some, like, sparks and swirls and stuff that if you put that bottom layer on, in the inventory, it looks like it's surrounded by these.
Very cool.
Cool little tricks with the game engine. And luckily, those do not have 3D models by default. Neverwinter Nights just doesn't use them. So I didn't have to make models for all of those. It means those packages don't work for those modules that have kind of activated the visible models for them. They just end up with the brown bag, but most people don't use that.
Everybody's left holding the bag. That's cool.
Well, I got into my actual first 3D model for Neverwinter Nights was actually a creature model. Way back, I don't even remember when I released it. I did Tensor's Floating Disk. It's a really basic texture. It's like a 2x2 pixel, just solid color. But I made multiple colors. And it's a floating cylinder. Almost the most basic shape you can get. The animations for it I took from a creature that hardly moves at all. So it works out, though, for the spell. I finally got it into Neverwinter Nights, and it's been in Dungeons and Dragons forever.
Isn't that the thing that you've made it that you actually can carry like inventory and stuff on?
Yep,
that's what I thought. Because I remember the last time you were talking about it, and I was like, that's really cool. Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
Well, it's just one of those basic non-battle spells that never made it into Neverwinter Nights until, you know, somebody in the community, me in this case, put it there. You know, how many people have played Dungeons and Dragons and played a wizard and never used Tensor's Floating Disk to haul your stuff?
Me.
Yeah, but
did
you're
you have you know, a mage shield at the party that can haul your stuff for you?
Yeah, that, and he likes to play rogues.
So, yeah, I hold all my own stuff, thank you very much.
Okay. I'll bet you do.
There he is, Rhodes' witty comment in between. Yeah. Kong.
Hey, anymore I have to.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways.
Yeah, anyways, go ahead.
Well, I put other oddball stuff out there, too. Like, I think it was last winter I made a snowman creature. An animated snowman creature. It uses, like, half-orcs as a basis. So it can actually wield weapons and hold wear a shield. But it's got eyes that glow in the dark, and it's got, you know, like thorny spikes coming out of its back. It's an evil snowman. I made that because I just had to. It was calling to me. It's like, what would be really, really twisted? A snowman that's evil.
Nothing unheard of on our end. You know, we're the ones who made the hell chicken called the Turkin. So, so you know, we're no strangers to interesting creature ideas or twisted creature ideas. No,
yeah,
no.
Like the Silent Hill gnomes.
Yes.
Silent Hill gnomes.
Oh, go ahead and tell them about them, Ben. I know you want to.
Okay, basically the idea was to create a new type of entertainment, and somebody who shall rename nameless, came up with the idea of having NPCs fight to the death dressed up like chickens. Now, it began as an idea of gnomes looking like they were dressed up like chickens. It ended looking like something out of Silent Hill. I mean, it literally looked like the chicken heads were made from the bodies of the gnomes who lost. I mean, it was that bad.
That's funny.
It never made it in game.
No, that would sat on the beta table for in the archives of lost content, we'll say.
See, the only chicken things in my game that I've done, I have carnivorous chickens, but I haven't made models for those. Those are just regular Neverwinter Nights chickens with a reskin that somebody did. Oh, I can't remember his name. It's on the vault. I think it's under chicken reskin. It took basically took this drab, boring, boxy chicken and made it look a lot more real. So I have carnivorous chickens that come out at night and will, you know, attack PCs wandering through their area. And I have, during Halloween, I always set up a magical jack-o'-lantern that if the players walk near it and they actually type trick-or-treat into the chat bar, so their character says it, they'll get a little gift. But if they're greedy and they do it more than once, they get polymorphed into a chicken and they start shouting clucking noises across the server for a minute.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I like that. Something
for Halloween. It's my favorite holiday.
That is great. I like that.
Well, some other things that I've enjoyed doing. Oh, every once in a while, somebody will post a question, like on the Bioware forum or on the CVP forum, just asking where to find something or if anybody's seen anything. Sometimes I'll whip something up for them. A while ago, somebody was looking. They're like, hey, do you know any hacks that have, you know, placeable or wieldable mops? Well, there weren't any. So I made some, and they
just
were surprised.
Just in case you, like, need a mop.
Well, it was funny. Yeah, I made a mop that leans against the wall. I made actually three of those, one that's nice and dry, one that's kind of soggy and wet looking, and one that is bloody.
Shotgun
and
to bloody mop.
And then I made spear models with the same textures. So you got a bloody mop and a dry mop and a wet mop, and a wet mop that actually drips, because they were fun. I started doing that every once in a while, and let's see, somebody asked, you know, how to change colors on stuff for people who are colorblind. Because in Neverwinter Nights 1, you got the, you know, like your hit point bar, and it's red if you're healthy, and green if you're poisoned, and brown if you're diseased.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, all shades of red and green. So I changed those and posted them up, and I can't remember who it was, Unknown Guy something? Anyway, he liked them, so hey, there's a gift for somebody.
That's something.
There you go, Unknown Guy.
Yeah. Well, hey, but that's a perfect example of custom content that absolutely is very pertinent, but nobody thinks about making stuff like that for people with disabilities, like, you know, color blindness or whatever.
Yeah, and it wouldn't affect the whole game. It's just that little part that's hard to tell the difference just by looking at it. Sure, you got the effects icons. They're like, oh, there's the little diseased icon. There's a little poisoned icon. But, you know, some people just want to glance at it and look at the color to know what it is. So that was a real simple change. It was changing one image that the game references for all three of those.
So how do all these little changes compare to your new huge project, Project Reforged?
That one is a lot more involved. The little changes are more individual and work in the override folder. And actually Project Reforged does too. But what it is I was so sick and tired of the default Neverwinter Nights weapon models. They look so boxy and drab. And, you know, well, the game came out 10 years ago. These models were probably made 11 years ago. So I started remaking them from scratch. Brand new models, higher polygons, brand new textures. Basically a complete makeover. But I'm trying to make them look similar to the original ones, so that they can just be imported into a module, like as an override, you know, for anybody to use, or in a hack pack, so that builders don't have to change item descriptions. They'll look similar enough that they can pass muster. I started with what I thought was the most difficult ones, the chain weapons, flails, heavy light flails, heavy flails, and morning stars, because I had already done a nice chain for the custom content challenge. One of the themes a couple of months ago was horror or creepy stuff, and I made some flails that were made out of bones with rusty chains. Well, the old Neverwinter Nights were like three blocks with a black spot in the middle to represent the hole. Well, now they've got nine links, and they're actually links with holes through them, and they look a lot better. So I went with that and just went, okay, instead of, you know, a four-sided handle, let's make it 12. It'll actually look round. Our graphics cards can handle it these days. So I got done with that, and my players really liked it. Then I said, well, what's next? Well, let's go kind of in alphabetical order, or in order in the game palette. Well, what would be the first one? Oh, axes! So right now my players are enjoying brand new models for axes. Hand axes, nice. Battle axes, double axes even. Great Axes. They work out really nice. So those will probably be released to the public in about mid-January. I put a poll on my forum for my players, and they said, yeah, you know, let's release this stuff in like a month after we get it in the Persistent World. That way, you know, the community can use it. It's kind of advertising for our stuff here, especially if they want everything that I made, because the stuff that's getting public released is about 40% of the project. The public is getting the, like, say, model number one, colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm making 10 colors for everything for my Persistent World.
Okay.
Nice.
Since I'm making the models anyway and I've got the textures, at the same time, I might as well do the extra work for my players. But I'm still putting out, let's see, even a base model that had, you know, one model with four colors, that's 12 models right there for everybody to use. So I think it'll help. And I looked and online, and the only other, like, remake of weapons that I've seen was a few years ago, Six put out some spears. And they look really nice. But nobody else has done weapons to remake the existing ones besides that. So I figured, eh, why not? I've got some time after my entire family goes to sleep. And I'm really sick of the way the current ones look. I don't want to replace all the models with, you know, stuff out of the CEP. I've got a bunch of those in my Persistent World already. But, you know, the default ones need some work. They need some love. So I've done axes. My next project, I'm actually doing smashing weapons, so like clubs and maces, and quarterstaves and dire maces. So that's what I'm working on right now. I just did light hammers and clubs. After that, I'm not sure. But I've got like eight. This is going to be like eight different releases. It'll cover all the default weapon types.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. That's one thing.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, but I'm using the same textures for all the different models. So, like, all the steel will be all one texture. All the gold is one gold texture. So it'll cut down on download size that way. What? There's a lot of models. It more than makes up for the lack of textures with just model sizes.
Right.
And I'm compiling these before I pack them in to, you know, compress them to upload them to the vault so that they render a little faster in the game. So that ups the file size a little bit. But, you know, any little speed pickup, if you got multiples of these on the screen, you might as well have.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, the downside of these is none of these, not none of them, but a lot of the parts won't line up with older models, and the icons that I make for them definitely won't. But, oh well. You got to make some sacrifices. So yeah, that's my big project for the next several months.
That'll keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We're in trouble, one of the two. So how have things been going?
Too. Even if people don't use it on their Persistent Worlds, players can use it as an override.
That's true. You know, if somebody likes it.
You know, improves everything from their favorite Persistent World to the original campaigns. Look, brand new models. Modern.
Ooh, pretty. So how have things been going on your Persistent World, the World of Anaya?
They've been going pretty good. I've seen a downturn in players recently, but that usually happens around Christmas time. Players go home from college. They, you know, actually log off and spend time with, oh, I don't know, families.
Oh, no. God forbid.
No, sometimes the twins are, I've got four kids. My youngest are twins at a year and a half.
God bless your soul.
And sometimes, you know, I just, you know, get to the computer to take 5 minutes and do something, and that's when they decide they need attention, when they've been ignoring me for an hour and a half. So I'm like, I'm having a moment where I feel like Clara from the Guild. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's hilarious. Yep. But she's a kind of an overworked parent. Well, she goes to extreme and just, like, ignores her kids. But
I was going to say, she's sort of the opposite of the overworked parent, but yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, I just want a couple minutes to do this. But yeah, been making updates to the Persistent World, the model work, adding some new areas, doing bugs and adding for scripting, and going back and working on a big scripting project that I've been working on for almost a year and a half now, doing all my spells. I think I'm about 90% done with that finally.
Nice.
But yeah, and, you know, looking at player suggestions and adding little things here and there.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the best way. I mean, if people are suggesting stuff that makes sense for your world, and, you know, why not? If it's something feasibly able to be done with a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
You know?
I've been getting a few new players, too, and I'm, like, trying to get some play time on, too. That's something I've been missing myself.
Yeah, that's always the issue when you're running a persistent world, is balancing, especially when you're the principal developer, the balancing the amount of time you're actually able to spend in your world versus doing the creating the content for it. It's always hard to balance that out.
And part of what drives me on mine is just, well, stuff I want to put in is because I would like to use it.
Well,
not
certainly.
Like, hey, this would be neat. It's like, you know what? I'd like to use that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Was we just got done redoing a bunch of spells for our persistent world, and, you know, that was, like, one of the things. I never play spellcasters, you know. It was, like, the first time I'm like, you know what, I like to check this out, you know, for obviously for testing purposes, but I also think I'd, you know, see what this is all about. So I was playing around, and I had a lot of fun doing that, you know, getting the game and wizarding up and, you know, doing something different other than the old paladin weapon master type of thing. You know, it was actually something different to do. And I had a lot of fun doing it. So I totally understand that sentiment.
Like when I play spellcasters, everybody uses a magic missile. I got sick of looking at the magic missile spell. So I figured out a way to make it look different for anybody that wants it. My wizards, when they cast it, they have, I think it's 116 choices now.
Holy crap.
How it looks. They just type a little code into the chat bar, and it changes a variable that's stored on their character, and it picks a different visual. It's actually, like, cast the spell script, and then, but it doesn't do the normal visual, and then it runs an alternate spell that doesn't do anything except a different visual.
That's nice. I like it.
Nice. So they can do skulls. They can do, like, little dragons or arrows or daggers or...
That's badass. I like that idea. Totally.
And then, like,
cool.
All the little models I made for it, they can... Okay, is it going to fly in a straight line, or is it going to arc up and over? I can't get it to do the spread thing that the default magic missiles do, because that's hard-coded. I wish it wasn't, but it is. Can't change that. But I can do a straight line, or I can have them, you know, do kind of a circling thing. All sorts of stuff.
That's cool. I definitely like that. That's really cool.
Well, you know, you get that and Tensor's floating disk, and you're all set as a first level wizard.
You know, I want to say this. You know, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your obviously busy day with the four children and all of your other duties to come on the show and, you know, give us updates about all the stuff that you've had going on. Before we close out, is there, like, anything else that you'd like to share with the audience that we haven't covered or it's not a part of any of the other projects you're working on?
Well, I would like to just, you know, say, hey, go visit the vault and see what's been made by, you know, myself, and, you know, let me know what you think, but other people too. Give them comments, give them votes, let us know that you like it, let us know what you don't like about stuff. You know, that's how we keep things improving. So, yeah, if you want to go to my website, I've got a list, 99% of the stuff I've publicly released. If you go to my front page, it's amethyst-dragon.com/NWN, and that's my Persistent Worlds website. But right in the middle at the top of the page is a link to my publicly released stuff. I think the only thing I don't have listed on there are some visual effects that are aligned to characters for, well, bunny ears and cat ears. It was a request that somebody made on the BioWare forums, and I'm like, really?
Oh.
Well, that's easy. I'll do it.
Oh.
So, yeah, check out my stuff, and then go check out other people's stuff, because there's a ton of great stuff out there. Let us know. It's kind of discouraging when you see, oh, here's, you know, 500 downloads and, you know, 10 comments and 8 votes. You know, maybe get us, you know, 10% response.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about. That's one of those things. It's, I never understood it either, but I don't think, frankly, I mean, with the current state of the community, I mean, it's the, when players are getting on, like, with the GOG and different ways like that, I don't know if they even know that the vault exists, because there's no way that stuff is, like, hard-coded in anywhere in the game that would say, hey, go check out the vault, this web address or anything, or the manuals for that matter, you know, so there's no way that people that just get into the game now you know, just casually. They're not going to know to even go somewhere to check that kind of stuff up.
I try to link them to it through the neverwinternights.info, and, you know, I still keep putting stuff out there, but yeah, I can feel the difference as the years have gone by on the lower number of players, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because on the stuff I've submitted, the feedback has slowed down. And, like, votes, you know, I don't care if people vote high or low, just let me know what you think. The votes have slowed down. You know, I've put a lot of stuff out there, and I've actually won a lot of those Hall of Fame awards from the vault, 17 of them now.
Holy mackerel.
Well, one's for my persistent world, and the rest is for the other stuff I've released. But, you know, there was a while there where I was, you know, some of the stuff was several years old, but I eventually, you know, get one, you know, here, and then one a month later, and then one 6 or 7 months later. And I was just looking at it, I was like, the last one I got was, oh my, it's been about 11 months. I should put more stuff out there.
I know what you're saying. You can't really go by that a lot, because there's people that'll download the stuff and or even, you know, look at it, and they won't vote on it. I mean, there's just, so it's not necessarily, it's not a good indicator.
Yeah, well, even just the votes, just the comments and the feedback, I'd like, even if they don't vote, just let me know what you think.
But, I know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, lower player base, it's a 10-year-old game.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll give you the closing line.
Okay. Well, before I say that, I want to say thanks for
no problem.
And get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.